Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
Well, when we turn to research-based guidelines that promote positive media use, who do you think of? But of course, the American Academy of Pediatrics and beyond Turn It Off. How do you advise your kids and families to really use responsible media with their kids? My guest is fan favorite Dr. David Hill, pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Hill, what is going on today about advising families as a pediatrician on responsible media use? Because I'm going through this right now. My daughter just got her first phone, and I swear it's connected to her, and I hate it.
I know, right? This is the universal experience of parenting these days, I think. Possibly not among the Amish, but among most of the rest of us, some sort of electronic device seems to be in most of our kids' hands most of the time. And what we're doing here is kind of running an experiment, right? We don't know the outcome of this. Most of our data about kids and media come from the television age. And we're looking at an age where, yes, television, which we would define really as any kind of passive viewing of programming, right? You're sitting there, you're watching something somebody else made. I think what we know from that still holds a lot of weight and is really useful. And yet, what does that have to do with, say, creating a city on Minecraft? What does that have to do with playing a strategic game with a bunch of your friends or watching your grandparents, visiting with them on Skype because they're in another place and you want to look at their faces, right? There's a lot of this stuff that we don't know. And so what we've tried to do at the Academy is to gather all the experts we could find, or at least a curated bunch of experts, in May of this year for a conference to ask the people at the top of this field, what are you seeing? What are you learning? Can we talk to each other and find out how the rules that we made for the old sort of TV world apply to this new mobile, interactive, and computer world? What do we need to keep? What do we need to revise? And we just released the outcome of that meeting, and it's getting a lot of buzz. And with that, we have created sort of, you know, when we say AAP guidelines, that's a very heavy official thing that requires the weight of the entire Academy. So these are not actually new guidelines per se. We're hoping to get those out in another year or so. But this is sort of an interim set of what we're thinking about, what we can answer for parents now, because they're coming to us with questions that may fall outside of the old guidelines. So how do we address the concerns that they're coming to us with in a realistic way that they can put on the ground in the world that we're all living in right now?
So how do you do it? Because as you say, it is different. And my daughter plays a drawing game with my sister who lives in Maryland, and I think it's pretty good. And there's words with friends, and as you say, Skype. And so what has changed? What do we know, Dr. Hill, about what we should and shouldn't be saying yes and no to?
Right. Well, let's start with small children, because there isn't that much that has changed in small children. We think about under age two, but there's sort of a gray zone between two and three. What we had said before is, you know, limit media time to 2 hours or to none, really, if you can get away with it under age two, or try to minimize it. So what do we want to say about that now? Well, something that you're doing with your parent, in your parent's lap, is that really media time or is that parent time? We know that young children learn by far better from interacting with another human being, ideally a parent, but it can be other people. It can be teachers, brothers, sisters. That face-to-face interaction cannot be replaced. So you can augment it if you're dealing with something electronic in somebody's lap, talking about it, reacting, responding. But there is nothing to tell us that there's any piece of electronics that can teach a young child as well as interacting with another human being. There is some intriguing data about learning languages from a Skype-like program where you're talking to somebody else on a screen. It's still much less effective than talking to another human being. So do we say, okay, no electronic device should get anywhere near somebody under age two? No, but what are you doing with it? Is it replacing human interaction, in which case it's probably not helping? Or is it just something that you can interact around, in which case maybe it is helping? Now you look at older kids. What are they?
Yeah,
doing?
That's and where the problem really lies. So much with these older kids. They seem like it's attached to them.
Right. So again, what are they doing with it? It's the question. And what is your role as a parent with it? If they're watching videos, hey, it's a television. And what we know about kids who watch a lot of TV is that there's sort of a dose-related effect for a lot of kids. It depends on, you know, how, what else they're doing in life. But if they're watching a lot of violence or participating in a lot of violence, there's nothing has changed there. We know that violent media use is associated with various types of aggression. They're all going to go, you know, shoot their classmates, but do they ignore bullying? Do they participate in bullying? Are they less sensitive to people around them? Yeah, there's some good evidence that that's the case. So you still want to watch what the content is. Is there a relationship between sexualized content and high-risk sexual behavior? That's what we know from PASS's media. Do we know that kids who participate with more alcohol and drug content are at higher risk for using alcohol and drugs and cigarettes? There's a lot of reasons to think that. On the other hand, if your kid is doing a class homework assignment and cooperating with five other people in the class, and that happens on a media platform, is that a bad thing? Probably not. That's probably a good thing. That's taking the real-world experience of working in a group on something constructive and moving it to an electronic platform. If your child is making a movie with their iPhone, that's creative. Are they collaborating? I've got a stepdaughter who uses Goodreads to collaborate on writing projects. Well, you know, is that the sort of media use we should be worried about? To me, it seems very creative and constructive. And so a lot of this is, what sort of context are you providing as a parent? Are you helping your child understand what they're looking at, what they're doing? Do you know what they're looking at and what they're doing? And have you looked at it to see if it's positive or negative or neutral?
So do you think we're allowed to just say, okay, I'd like to see your text? Because to me, as you talk about some of these things, and when you say they're watching videos, hey, that's TV, wow, that really sparked a light in me. But so much of what they're doing that I see, Dr. Hill, is texting, Instagram, FaceTime. These are what I'm seeing. And Snapchat, which disappears. I don't like Snapchat at all.
These are concerns for a lot of parents. And this is one thing I asked a lot of the researchers who were gathered, because I've got this happening in my own house. I've got four teenagers and one 10-year-old. So this is the life I'm living. And, you know, do we check? And many of them suggested sort of the training wheels approach to social media. You know, you start in an environment that's fairly safe. Something, you know, a lot of people start with Club Penguin. My kids did. Disney, you know, moderates that. Although we've talked before about bullying that my daughter witnessed on Club Penguin. How can a cartoon penguin on a screen bully another cartoon penguin on a screen? I watched it happen.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a chance to really have a lot of stewardship, watch what your kid's doing. Then as they get older, you talk about how we're going to negotiate the sort of freedom. Just like, you know, can my daughter go over to a friend's house? Well, I want to know where she is, who she's with, what they're going to be doing. Is there going to be a parent there? Do I need to check in with them? You know, the older she gets, the more she builds up responsibility, the more trust she gets.
We only have 30 seconds, Dr. Hill.
The electronic world, our key message here is treat the electronic world the way you treat the real world. The same rules you bring to parenting in the real world, the same examples you try to set, the same precautions you take, work in the electronic world. And that's sort of where we're going with this thing.
It's so important for parents, and as Dr. Hill said, communicate with your child. That's A number one. Parent to child, make sure you know what they're doing. Make sure you know what they're doing online or on their phones or what games they're playing and what friends they're texting, and really get involved with them, because that's the way you're going to find out, and you can read more from the AAP News on their new advice. It's not so new. It's just changed for this digital age on media use in our children. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.